We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the UNI Panther Point of View. Tune in each week for a deeper point of view from UNI coaches, student athletes, and UNI insiders. Now, here's the voice of the Panthers, Gary Rima.
Hi, sports fans. Welcome all of Panther Nation to our latest episode of the Panther Point of View podcast. This is where we get a deeper point of view and insight from UNI coaches, student athletes, administrators, alumni, and media that cover the University of Northern Iowa Panther athletic teams. Today, we're going to talk with Stephen Fennelly. He is our special guest on our Panther Point of View podcast. He's in his fourth year as an assistant coach with the UNI Panther women's basketball team. And Coach Fennelly, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well, Gary. I appreciate the time. I've had the opportunity to listen to a couple of the podcasts and obviously heard you many times with, football here and men's basketball. So happy to be on the show and, you know, happy to be with you today.
Well, I'm excited to talk with you because I've watched you coach at practices. I've been to a few of the games during your 4 years there, but I've never really got to know Coach Stephen Fennelly. I can remember a number of years ago doing my radio show courtside. And this was back when you and I men played at Iowa State, right? And your dad's Iowa State team was practicing, and it's middle of the afternoon, and I'm sitting there doing a 2-hour radio sports talk show, and his team's out there practicing, and right. And it was kind of cool that he allowed us to sit there and do that. But I want to go back to your youth, to your younger days growing up. Where did you grow up? What sports were you involved in? Just tell us a little bit of history of Coach Fennelly.
Right, for sure. Well, obviously, I grew up in Ames. From first grade on, obviously basketball has always been a part of my life. You know, like you mentioned, my dad, he's been at Iowa State, I think about 25 years now, which seems like forever. But originally was born in South Bend, Indiana, actually. So I tell myself I'm a Notre Dame fan. Only lived there for a few weeks, but my dad was assistant there. And then grew up in Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, for 6 or 7 years as my dad was the head women's coach. That was his first head coach gig at University of Toledo, the Rockets. It was a fun time. But, when I tell people what home is for me, home is Ames, Iowa. I've lived there from first grade on, all my elementary days. Obviously, went to high school there, got my undergrad from Iowa State, and then obviously I got my master's from Iowa State. So Ames is my hometown. I grew up playing all the sports like most kids. Baseball is probably my favorite sport. My whole family are actually diehard St. Louis Cardinal fans. So, we really enjoy baseball. I have a lot of friends. This is a lot of Cub territory around here. So the trash talking is a lot of fun, but always been a Cardinal fan. Obviously played basketball, football growing up, with your dad being a coach, sports is 365 all the time, 24/7. So, and obviously I was always in the gym with my dad, going on bus trips, going on plane rides. I was very blessed to be, firsthand with that and be around. It was a great experience for me, and obviously that's where the love from, you know, for basketball for me came in, and wanted to get into coaching at some point. I have an older brother, Billy, who's actually on staff with my dad. So, you know, it's definitely in the family, so to speak. But yeah, it just sports family growing up, you know, very close family knit. And, you know, just the fact that I was able to go to Iowa State, and I was a student manager for my dad for 4 years, and I got my master's there. And did the graduate assistant video coordinator gig thing, and just kind of tried to slowly work my way up. And it's just a thing that I wanted to be around, just seeing my dad do it for a living. And now that I'm blessed to be here at UNI under Coach Warren's leadership, is just something that's been a blessing for me. And to be back home, I was in California for a couple of years, in Idaho for a couple of years. So to be back home in Iowa, close to family, and being at such a great university now is something that's truly a blessing for me.
Being a diehard Chicago Cubs fan all my life, I'm not going to hold it against you that you're a Cardinals fan.
Thank you, Gary.
That is one of the great rivalries, by the way, in pro baseball. Have you ever been to Wrigley Field when the Cubs Cardinals played?
I have. I've been blessed to go, you know, 4 or 5 times. My brother actually used to live in Chicago, so you know we've done the Wrigleyville time. That's a great sports town, obviously, and I've been to Wrigley a few times. My family tries to get to Busch for 2 to 3 Cardinal games a year, depending on who they play. We try to see Cubs Cardinals. Like you said, that's such a great, rich tradition, rivalry there. But yeah, I've been to Wrigley, been to Busch, just a big baseball fan, and it's just a lot of fun. And like I said, great rivalry. The Cubs have gotten us last few years, Gary, but we're hopefully with the Nolan Arenado trade, you know, the Cardinals can get back on that winning track. But the, you know, NL Central is such a fun, competitive league, and it's just fun to follow, and I'm looking forward to baseball season.
And you know, when we go to St. Louis for the men's postseason basketball tournament, we play in an arena right by Busch Stadium, and we go by there, and we've actually stayed at a hotel really close to there. And I think, man, it looks like it'd be a beautiful stadium to go watch the Cardinals play whoever. I've just never have been to Busch Stadium. Has your family been there?
Yes, we have multiple times, and they have an area down there. It's called Ballpark Village now. Yeah. Just some bars and restaurants right there. So they've kind of done up the area nice. Obviously, you know, I'm biased being a Cardinal fan, but it's a nice place. If you're a baseball fan in general, it's a nice stadium, you know, to take in a baseball game. And I would highly recommend it for you. But yeah, it's a great area, great time, and yeah, I'm definitely jealous and envious of you guys getting to stay right down there, because it's a cool little area down there.
Really is. We're talking with Stephen Fennelly. He is assistant basketball coach on Tanya Warren's staff for UNI Panther women's basketball, nearing the completion of what would be year number 4 as a UNI Panther assistant basketball coach. So when you were in high school, did you go to Ames High School? Did you go to Gilbert High School? I see sometimes some of the kids in that area, they don't always go to the Ames High School. Were you a little Cyclone?
I was a little Cyclone. Yeah. You do see a lot of open enrollment in that area, but yeah, I was a little Cyclone to the core. Ames High for sure. So
your high school sports. Tell us about your being a high school athlete. What was it like? You mentioned baseball. What, any success in any of those sports?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would. I probably wasn't as good as I wanted to be, but baseball is probably my best sport, if I had to say. I played 4 years of varsity baseball. Just really enjoyed the game. Played third base. Just something I grew up. I feel like I had a decent arm. My claim to fame, that's not really a claim to fame, is I was a starting quarterback my senior year, which was fun, but I backed up. A lot of people know the name Austin Arnott, who's a close friend of mine. I tell people, he joked, he gave me a clipboard my junior year. I was never going to play in front of him, but it was fun to see him play. So I tell people that I was Austin Arnott's backup. He's a great guy, still a good friend of mine to this day. I was just texting with him the other day. So obviously had a great career with Iowa State football. So, but yeah, baseball kind of was my most successful sport. Like I said, I played football. I enjoyed playing football. It was great. And it's funny, basketball is probably my least favorite sport in terms of playing. I played till my sophomore year. I wasn't great at it. Obviously, I always enjoyed the game from an X and O standpoint and watching the game. Obviously, being around my dad seemed like I said, but I really focused most of my attention personally on baseball and football. But again, obviously basketball, just being around the game so much was something I wanted to obviously be part of down the road. But yeah, football and baseball are kind of my go-tos in high school.
You mentioned, I got to believe, as a youngster, middle school, high school, you were able to travel some with Iowa State women's basketball. What was that like? And did you spend a lot of time going to other Iowa State, whether it was Cyclone football, men's basketball, seeing some of the coaches and teams that came through during that time also?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I got a great opportunity to go to a lot of fun trips, whether, you know, just be a bus ride, you know, to Iowa City or here in Cedar Falls. But then, you know, there was always those fun Thanksgiving tournaments that my whole family went to. You know, I was very blessed to go to a lot of cool places, and yeah, I just thought it was so cool. I'd sit up right there in front, you know, with my dad on the bus, and I thought I was the coolest, you know, 12 to 13-year-old kid out there. You know, it just was a lot of cool, you know, great times. And I would just always sneak to the back and talk to the girls and, you know, play with them and, you know, keep them. My dad always joked, like, you were like a fourth assistant, you know, keeping them loose in the back, you know, there's always enough stress going on. But no, it was fun. And like I said, I went to all men's basketball games, obviously football games. I still to this day try to go to as many football games and, you know, men's games as I can, obviously, you know, if I can't go to my dad's games. But I mean, obviously I'm a Panther through and through, you know, I bleed purple, which I like to say, but I'll always be obviously a Cyclone at heart. You know, other than when we're playing them in a sport, you know, you and I'm always rooting for the Cyclones. You know, that's what I know. You know, that's what my dad has been, you know, for so many years, and the support Ames has, you know, for their athletics. And that's honestly I'm going off tack here. That's one of the main reasons why I love Cedar Falls. It reminds me a lot of Ames. It's a college town. They do a great job of supporting their teams, you know, from the community, from the athletic department. I mean, that's what I tell people that reminds me a lot of Iowa State, you know, which is close to my heart. And it's fun to be a part of another, you know, university athletic department that does the same thing. So, yeah, again, I love Iowa State, love you and I, too, you know, great, respectful, you know, programs across the country. And it's fun to be a small part of both.
You graduated from Iowa State in 2007 with a communications degree. Were you going to be a broadcaster? Were you going to get into radio or TV? What were you thinking?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I always told myself, you know, one of my dream jobs growing up, one of many was, you know, I wanted to be like on ESPN to be a broadcaster. So, yeah. And I always joked, I'm going to start a podcast with my brother or some of my friends and just sit there and talk sports, kind of like what you do, Gary. I'm envious of your job, and you do a great job at it. But yeah, it's something I grew up, I wanted to do something in sports. For a long time, it was that. Then as I got older, and, you know, it was part of my dad's program as a student manager, and just being around the program more at a more, I don't know, different level than, you know, being a little kid on the bus, I saw that it was something I was interested in, and I saw how much, you know, my brother's 3-4 years older than me, so he kind of did the path I did, so I got to see firsthand before I did, which was huge for me, and I saw how much he enjoyed it. Obviously, my dad enjoyed it, and it's just something I was very passionate about, and, you know, being part of basketball. So, yeah, growing up, definitely something in sports, whether it be, you know, what you do, Gary, or, you know, something, you know, along those lines. And maybe down the road when I'm, you know, older, maybe I'll do something, because I could sit here and talk to you all day doing this. This is a lot of fun stuff. But, yeah, always in sports. And like I said, as I got older, though, I wanted to definitely be in the basketball world.
I'm telling you, you'd be a natural at it. You'd be awesome at it. But
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You're very kind.
So you were the grad manager, whatever, on your dad's team. But then for a couple of seasons, you became the head video coordinator. And, you know, that carries a little bit of – you got to do a good job with that. How did the conversation go between your dad, the head coach, and you saying, hey, I want to hire you and put you on staff as my video coordinator? And then what was that – in that position, what was that like?
Yeah, it was a good experience. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I was getting towards the end of my senior year, my undergrad, and I remember going to my dad's office, and we had talked, you know, throughout the years, and obviously that last semester, like, hey, Dad, like, you know, are you serious about this, Steve, or not? What do you want to do? You know, what's the next step? And I really wanted to commit to it and do it, and it so happened it worked out that they had to fill that spot for the, you know, the GA video person, and obviously I told my dad I'm very interested, and he's like, you know, obviously, you know, I would love to have you, but obviously you got to work hard, and you need to be committed to it, and which rightfully so, which I was, and I enjoyed it. It was a great experience. I'm just going to be honest, anytime you can pay to get your master's as well, you know, you can't beat that. So it was another opportunity for me to put something else on my resume, right? I mean, I was, you know, I did the undergrad and did the student managers, anything I could help, and then to be able to put, you know, be able to do access to video, which is so key and important these days, you know, with scouting at our level, you know, so be able to know the ins and outs of that and, you know, play a key part was huge for me. And it just actually, honestly, as I went through those 2 years, Gary, it just made me more excited and more, you know, excited for the opportunity. I knew for sure I wanted to be an assistant coach at this level someday, and it was just a great experience. Obviously, I'll always be forever thankful for my dad for giving me that position.
Yeah, that was my next question. Did being the video coordinator make you make that decision? You know, this is great, but I want to be down there on the bench. I want to be coaching. I want to be in practice, you know, working with the players and be part of that staff and be in those pregame and postgame and all that halftime stuff.
Yeah, no, it definitely gave me more of an itch. You know, there's no question about it. You know, it just being around that, you know, I wanted to take that next step, and I knew I had to go through these steps to get there. And I'm, you know, like I said, I'm forever grateful for it. And, you know, that's why I'm always, you know, you see on social media these days, all you see the student managers and the GAs, what they're doing. You know, I have a great appreciation for those guys and what they do behind the scenes. You know, a lot of times they don't get the respect they deserve, you know, and it's, you know, you love those guys and, you know, girls and guys, whatever they are. So yeah, to go through that process, and again, it definitely gave me that itch. And when the opportunity came after I was done with 2 years, you know, it was something I was looking forward to, and I was going to hit the ground running and, you know, do what I could to, you know, get in that role.
Yeah, you got to tell us now. Was there ever, because those 2 years when you were the head video coordinator were NCAA tournament teams.
Yeah.
So you were playing some really important games for a long time. Right. Was there ever a little bit of a mess up with the video or something where, you know, dad's like, hey, I need that video, that, and for some reason, you know, my video coordinator he didn't have it for me.
Right. No, I'd be lying if I said I ever didn't make a mistake. And, you know, that's where, like, you know, and obviously my dad treated me great. That's almost like, that's a bad thing. It's your dad, because he might, you know, get a little more mad at you, if that makes sense. But no, there was, I was blessed to be a part of a lot of great teams, a lot of wins. And yeah, it's long nights and early mornings when you mess up and try to scramble to get that done. But, you know, that's part of the process. And that makes who you are today, right? I mean, you learn from the mistakes and all that stuff. But yeah, there was definitely a few times I was sweating it, and the old man certainly wasn't happy with me, but, you know, I learned from it. I was better for it. And obviously, you know, we did okay. But, it was some fun times, man. We had a lot of good teams, and, you know, he continues to still has a lot of good teams. But, yeah, it was a fun 6 years, especially those 2 years, we winning a lot of games and being part of those programs. But yeah, there were some learning curves for sure.
Yeah, he's certainly leaving a huge legacy at Iowa State with the women's basketball program, and for you to see that firsthand, and now to do what you're doing, that's really amazing. We're talking with Stephen Fennelly. He is an assistant basketball coach for the UNI Panther women's basketball program under head coach Tanya Warren, and this Panther program's had really great success under Coach Warren, and in recent years with you, Coach Fennelly, part of it. Talk about that path to get to UNI. How did you go from Iowa State to Cal State Fullerton and getting that first assistant job? What was that like?
It was fun. It was like a lot of hard work paying off. You know, so like you said, it's like anything else. I was done, finished up my master's, and, you know, it's like anything else. You got to look and see, you know, who you know, what you know. You know, I obviously had my dad make some calls for me. I had to network. I went to the Final Four. The women's Final Four is somewhere you go and you can give your resume and talk to people. And I just tried to sit down as many people as I could, you know, get in front of as many people as I could, give them my resume, tell them what I'm about. Hardworking, passionate guy, you know, do anything type of deal. Because I just wanted to get my foot, you know, my feet wet, so to speak. You know, you can't be greedy with what you get. You know, I wanted anything I could get at the D1 level. I was a young guy, you know, so to be in this position at a young age, you know, I felt very blessed and fortunate if I could get something. I ended up going to Cal State Fullerton. Obviously a completely different world growing up in Iowa. You know, you're going across the country. So in a way that was kind of scary and exciting all in once. Just to finally get that first, official D1, assistant job that you've looked forward to, especially the last few years, like we just talked about, Gary, was really fulfilling. It really was. You know, obviously, you know, there was just the start of something that I wanted to continue to work on. And now to, you know, gosh, I think I'm in right now my 8th year as an assistant, which seems like it's gone, you know, so fast. I know that sounds like a cliche, but it's been a fun ride. You know, it's just beginning. You know, I look forward to many more years down the road. But to finally get that first assistant job in California was a fun experience for me for sure.
And then you made the step to go to Idaho and the Vandals.
Yeah, the Vandals. Yeah, the Pacific Northwest. Moscow, Idaho. I say I live in Moscow, people think I'm going to Russia. No, it's Idaho. A little different. But it was fun. It was, like I said, a guy to grow up in Iowa. And like I mentioned, I got to go to a lot of cool places, you know, with my dad with the trips. But I live in California for 3 years with then my fiance and experienced that. And then to go to, you know, a different part of the country and be there for a year, you know, close to Seattle, it was a great experience. And that was a great program as well. And I appreciate my 3 years at Cal State Fullerton, and I appreciate my 1 year at Idaho. And I probably would have been at Idaho longer. There's no doubt about it. Coach John Newley's there, does a phenomenal job, has done, you know, so many wins there, kind of like Coach Warren is. You know, every year it's got a great program. But just the fact when I got that call from Coach Warren to come back to Iowa, where my family is, you can't put a price on that. You really can't. But yeah, so now to be back in Iowa with my family, I have two little kids and my wife, and, you know, and I tell people, Gary, I can go from my driveway to my parents' driveway in an hour and 20 minutes, 20 to 35. You just can't beat that. You really can't. And to be close to family and to be at a great program under Coach Warren, I mean, it's a win-win, and I've definitely hit a home run, and I've enjoyed it ever since.
Well, and I think you see that at the University of Northern Iowa with the longevity of coaches, right. Whether it's head coaches, assistant coaches, they come to UNI and they see what a great place it is, facilities, people you work with, and coaches stay.
Right, right. I mean, you've been sports, Gary. That's rare. That's rare these days to have coaches stay so long. So, I mean, Coach Warren, Coach Jacobson, Coach Farley, you know, Coach Peterson, you go on and on. And not only the longevity, but the success they've all had. I mean, it's unbelievable. People who don't know UNI Athletics have been around it, they don't truly understand that, but it's amazing. You know, so to be a part of an athletic program and under, you know, the leadership of David Harris and what he's done for this program and the support he has. I mean, he's always at our games. I was the other night we played, he was looking up right behind our bench. So the longevity of coaches and just the willingness to everyone to help each other out, you know, what can we do to help you be successful as recruiting or anything at all? Everyone's always open, you know, helping anything, any way you can. That's what's so fun to see. It really is.
What did you notice? You were behind the scenes with Iowa State basketball, a Power 5 conference, a Big 12 program, all the things that Iowa State could offer. And then you go to Cal State Fullerton, you go to Idaho. What were the differences? What did you notice going from a Big 12 program to those schools before you came to UNI?
Oh, God. I mean, a lot. I didn't really understand, to be honest. I didn't understand the difference in the financial aspect, if I'm being honest. You know, it's Power Fives. They got a lot more money. Everyone knows that. You know, you're operating on a different budget. You know, I went from charter planes and fancy, you know, charter buses to, you know, no charter planes, and you're busing everywhere. You know, so you have if anything, I had a more grounded respect, you know, for what people did, if that makes sense. I kind of had a blinded look at what I always, you know, I thought everyone going on charter planes, to be honest with you, like, what? Like, my first road trip, and I know this sounds terrible, I'm just being honest, like, not, we don't all go on charter planes and get pop and candy handed to us when we get on the plane. I mean, it's amazing. So you have a different perspective for that. But yeah, it's different. It just shows you got to work harder, but you appreciate the little things a little bit more. You know, in Cal State Fullerton, it's funny, Gary, because they don't have football. And they actually have really good. If you know college baseball, you've heard of Cal State Fullerton. Yeah. Phenomenal baseball. They're in the College World Series all the time. So that's kind of their football. So you're not going to, for recruiting, you're not going to football Saturdays. I'm like, you just don't have those anymore. So it's different. You get more creative, you know, with some sports you do or don't have. But yeah, it's definitely different. But you know, like you do the most with what you have and you make it work. But I definitely have a better perspective being at different places. And I think it's maybe a better person for it.
As an assistant coach, whether it was at Cal State Fullerton, Idaho, now under Coach Warren at UNI, what are some of the responsibilities that you've taken on as an assistant coach?
I mean, a lot. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, I've always wanted to do, I'm the recruiting coordinator technically here. So you oversee recruiting. Now, we all recruit. You know, obviously, we're all on the phone. We're all traveling. Obviously, COVID's a little different this year, but normally you're traveling to a bunch of high school games throughout the year. And summer's big for our recruiting, Gary. So especially in July, you're going everywhere across the country, going to see kids play, sitting in the gym all day, watching games. So I kind of just oversee the recruiting aspect of it, which I enjoy. I like talking to kids on the phone. I feel like I'm a decent people person, hopefully easy to talk to. So I love to chop it up and talk and talk and talk, just like I'm talking to you. So just building those relationships with kids, I enjoy that, with families, with coaches, you know, because that's a big thing. You know, if mom and dads are entrusting you to take their kid for 4 years. I mean, the kids we have here, we probably see them more than they see their families. And people outside of sports don't understand that. So they put huge trust in you. So just building those relationships with kids and being on the phone, it's something I enjoy. So recruiting, scouting, you know, scouting opponents is something that I have a huge say in, which I enjoy. And then we work with all our kids, but I primarily work with our post players. So those three things, Gary, recruiting, scouting, you know, post-development are the things I probably work on the most. And those are the things I enjoy. And I got to give all my coaches, obviously right now, Coach Warren does a great job of giving us, you know, those opportunities to grow and trust us in what we're doing. And, you know, I'm very thankful for that.
I know the head coach always has the last say on recruits, who you're going to sign, who you're going to bring in. But in my 28 years of following UNI Panther men's basketball closely and watching the women's program, and just talking with some of the assistant coaches, talking with Kevin Boyle, who's my color commentator, who was an assistant basketball coach for 12 years. Assistant coaches take a lot of pride in the kids that they find, the ones that, you know, they kind of say, hey, coach, I've been watching. I think we need to bring this young lady in. And then the coach comes and says, yeah, you know, you nailed it. What are some of your, I know you love every one of these players on the UNI women's basketball roster, so I'm not asking for any favorites, but who are the ones that maybe you feel like, I recruited this person, I really worked hard to get them to UNI. Can you share any of that with us?
Yeah, no, of course. You're dead on. I mean, like I said, you always got your favorites and you're in recruiting meetings and you're kind of sticking up for your kids, so to speak. And I'll tell you what, though, there's nothing worse, though, if you have there's a kid you see play well, you know, and then, hey, coach, you got to go watch this kid. And then they don't play well. I mean, you just feel so bad. And obviously, everyone's human. LeBron James has bad games, whatever. But it's just, there's nothing worse that you talk a kid up so much. And then, of course, just your luck, right? That Coach Warren, the head boss, goes and watches and they're terrible. And they're looking at you like, what are you looking at? You know, so that always happens. That's everything. But gosh, I mean, Our incoming class, this freshman class, you know, obviously a couple of those, obviously highlight. Cave Alaubi is one. Maya McDermott, but you could go on. Emerson Green. It's just those kids. You know, you take pride in, and it's obviously Emerson Green was a different situation because he's right here locally, and we have a lot of local kids, which is awesome. You know, there's not many times that, you know, four or five kids on your roster are right down the road, you know, from Cedar Falls High School. But I'd say, to answer your question, Gary, sorry, I'm all over the place here, but Maya McDermott and Kevin Lobby are two that when we got those, it felt good. It felt good to get for sure.
Talk about this year's team and, you know, here you are down to your final four games of the regular season. Just, you know, you're a 500 ball club. You're in the middle of the pack of the conference, but I've watched your team and I've looked at the results and you've played everybody pretty tough, whether it's a 12-0 Missouri State or whoever it is. How do you assess what this team this year with four regular season games to go and then the conference tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to even think there's four games left, you know, and hopefully, COVID willing, we'll get those four in, obviously, plus hopefully one more with the conference tournament. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we're 10-11. I'm biased, but I think we're better than a 10-11 team. You know, I think there's certain some games that we would like to have back, Gary, and that's everybody. But like you said, we played Missouri State close. You know, we beat South Dakota State in the non-conference, who's ranked, I think, 22 right now. We played Iowa State close. You know, that's where I'll give Coach Warren a lot of credit. Especially the non-conference, we go play teams. We're not scared to play anybody, and she's always done that. At least the 4 years I've been here, I think before that, you know, it's all about getting your team ready for conference play. And so for us to go compete with the teams we play in the non-conference, Iowa State every year, South Dakota State, K-State, Missouri, you know, we'll play three or four Power Fives a year. And you know, I'm not, and everyone's different, but you look at other mid-majors, they're not playing the same schedule we are. You know, so I respect that. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for our finish, Gary. I just hope we can finish well. It's all about, you know, how you're playing in March. Hope you can peak. And it's all about, you know, like I said, putting yourself in a good position. The final, you know, final standings, the MVC, to, you know, put yourself in a great position seeding-wise for the conference tournament and make a run there. But I'm excited. We got a good veteran crew. Obviously, we got to send out Megan Maas the right note, our senior who's means so much to our program. It's done had a phenomenal 4 years. I've been blessed to be part of that. Just went over 1,000 points, Gary. She's been all conference. Overall defense, you know, and she's just a better person off the floor. So obviously it's all about finishing well, getting ready for next season. But, you know, we talk about, you know, especially the last few weeks, our message for our team has been, let's send out Megan the right note because she's given so much to this program. And hopefully we can go out with a bang, so to speak, and make a run here towards the end.
Yeah, last two home games of the regular season this weekend against Evansville. And senior day will be a little different because some of those seniors will come back or can come back. Megan Maas, who's got a great job lined up, opportunities after college, is going to move on. But you got to take some pride in her success. That's that position you work with, that post position, and to see her battle through that season-ending injury and you know, pretty much miss an entire season and come back and finish this way. way. Got to be a lot of satisfaction for everybody involved with the program.
Oh, no question, Gary. I mean, she, like you said, you don't want any kid to go through a bad injury, but especially her. You know, she just works so hard. She's a great kid. But and then to see her worth ethic the year she was out, and I tell people she was like a fourth assistant to us. I mean, she was always great leadership still, even off the floor. And our kids have so much respect for her that she even had the same impact when she was even off, you know, and that says a lot about a kid. So again, to see her battle back, to see what she went through to come back even bigger, stronger, faster, has been fun to see for all of us, you know, and I'm one of Megan's biggest fans. And obviously, you know, when she moves on a post basketball career, she's going to make a huge impact in the world. Cause she's such a great lady. And like I said, always already has a job lined up. So just a phenomenal kid, but yes, it's been great to see her success come back. And like you said, I just hope, like I said, we're guaranteed COVID willing at least 5 more games and hopefully they're on more, but yeah, I hope we can send her out the right note for sure. Cause she's deserved that. Right.
You work with the post players a lot. Who's that next one to watch down the road that's going to step in and be that next big inside player?
Yeah, great question. And and people who follow our program already know this name. It's no secret. It's definitely Cynthia Wolf, who's been, and obviously Coach Warren. I got to steal a line from Coach Warren. She says this all the time, and it's the truth. For most or any other program, you know, in the MVC, I think Cynthia Wolf would be starting. She's that good. But we have Megan Moss, so it's great. It's a good problem to have both, right, Gary? So again, man, she's accepted that role as the backup, and she's had a lot of great games, and every year she gets bigger, faster, stronger, even better. Great kid. So I think, and that's what's great. She's gotten that great experience. Megan's been a great mentor for her. They learn from each other. They battle versus each other in practice. You know, you can't put a price on that, Gary. So they make each other better. So I think she's certainly excited and willing and will be ready to fill in that role for Megan once Megan's done and take a huge step forward, you know, as she has each year she's been with our program.
Who's the player or two on this team that maybe isn't playing a ton or maybe getting some of the headlines that some of the other players are, but man, the way they contribute, whether it's at practice or just on trips and the camaraderie they help build within this team. Who are a couple players like that on this team that maybe us on the outside looking in don't realize what they bring to the team? Cause we don't see them deep in the, you know, being a stat stuffer every game.
Right, right. You know, I appreciate you asking that question. The first name is absolutely Grace Bofelli, freshman out of North Scott. Again, just a kid that's always talking, works her butt off in practice, just competes her tail off. Anything you ask her to do, she'll do. And she's gotten, like I said, she's gotten some spare minutes here and there. It's a good problem to have. We're so deep, Gary. We got a lot. We can't play everybody. I wish we could. You know, there's only one basketball. But a kid that has accepted her role as a freshman has definitely gotten better, i.e. on the court, in the weight room. And anytime her number's called, whether it's a minute, 2 minutes, and there might be a game she doesn't play, Gary, but she's the biggest, you know, sports fan, you know, biggest fan for our team off the court, on the bench. So she's a name that really sticks out that I think, you know, when it's all said and done 4 years from now, Gary, we're going to look back and say this kid was a steal recruit for us and is going to do a lot of good things. Her, and then another name I would say is Maya Jimphy has a chance as well. He's getting a freshman that has battled some injuries, is out with a concussion type stuff right now, but a kid that's very skilled. These kids, sometimes they're on our scout team in practice, Gary. They're as good as our other kids, you know, so it's fun to go against each other and they all make each other better. But those are two kids that I think, you know, like I said, we're excited for the future and some Panther fans. I think we'll see more of them down the road.
Well, and you just mentioned two freshmen, and then, you know, with Emerson Green and Maya McDermott and Kaba Lauby led you in scoring against Drake the other night. I mean,
right,
the youth, the quality of the young players on this team is, man, it's off the charts, Coach.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. It really is. And like I said, when you can mix a core of those veteran kids with the freshman kids, it's a lot of fun. And as the year's gone on, you've seen, like I said, it was Cable Lobby last night. You said Emerson Green's had some huge stretches. Maya McDermott, gosh, there's been at Wichita State, we won a close game. She comes in and scores like 15 points. So for freshmen to come in and make an impact, which you don't normally see at this level as you've been around this sport, Gary, for those guys to come in and make an impact like they've done this early in the stage in their career is exciting for us to see, because we just know once they take that next step, once we're in the offseason, they'll get bigger, faster, stronger. It's just going to be huge. You can't could have put a price on experience. So you really can't. And a lot of times freshmen don't get that experience. You know, you just got to wait your turn. So for those kids that you mentioned, the Emerson Greens of the world, Cable Lobbies, Maya McDermott, to get those experiences early on and to continue to learn from our veterans, is this only going to help them down the road?
Just a couple more things for you. First of all, you got to tell us something that you figure almost 99% of the people probably don't know this about Stephen Fenley. What is something about you that people probably they don't know unless you tell it to us right now?
Wow. that's a great question. I'm a diehard country music fan. It's not a great answer, but I love country music. Coach Warren always gives me a hard time. We go on recruiting trips together, Coach Warren and I, and in Pacific, we were driving to Indianapolis, and I was driving, so, you know, if you're the driver, I told her, even though she's the boss, I was like, I get to control the radio. She started laughing, and we were rocking out of country music, and Coach Warren's she doesn't love country music, and she doesn't like, and then you add on country music, and I'm singing, and I'm a bad, bad singer. She was ready to get out of the car, so I love country music. I don't know why. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Me and my wife love it and have enjoyed going to concerts. So, you know, hopefully post COVID world, we can all get back to that amongst many other things that are more important. But, I've always loved country music. I don't know why, but it's something I've always enjoyed. So,
yeah. Interesting. You grew up in a coach's family. You're married. What, you mentioned your wife, what are your plans on a family sometimes young coaches, they're not, you know, they're thinking, you know, I got to travel a lot, I got to be gone. I grew up in a coach's family, and
right,
dad was, or mom, if in coaching was gone a lot. What's kind of the Steve Fenley plan?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, because it's people, again, and I'm biased too, because I grew up with it. People don't understand a coach's wife, you know, and I grew up with my mom. It's hard. It's really hard with, you know, like I said, they're gone for road trips. They're gone recruiting in the summer, and my birthday is in July, and I mentioned July recruiting's huge. My dad missed many of my birthdays growing up, and it's not that he didn't want to be there, but, you know, he was working, you know. So it's a huge time, and you're away from your family and your wife. So Andrea is my wife. She's very supportive. She's great. Now, we have two little kids at home. So I have a two-year-old daughter who's turned two the other day, and I have a four-year-old son. Obviously there's times that I wish I could see him more, but it's all about you got to have a supportive spouse, whoever it is, if you have one. A supportive family, and I'm blessed to have that and understand, you know, what we go through. And that's any job, obviously. But it's hard at times. It really is. But it's something I'm very passionate about. I enjoy doing, and to have the support system I do at home, you know, makes it that much better.
Yeah, you're right. A coach's wife, they are special, man, when they support, and they understand how much you love what you do. Before we let you go, long range goals. And I don't think your head coach minds you talking about, you know, I think everybody, especially a young guy like you and having success, you got long range goals, whether you can reach them or not, you got to shoot for them. What are Stephen Fenley's long range goals in this sport?
Yeah, for sure. Long range goals is I'd like to be a head coach down the road someday. Absolutely. Like you said, it's a long ways from now, and I've been blessed to, work for, under my dad, obviously, which I think he's the best. I'm a little biased on that regard, but, I think he's one of the best, and like I said, been to a few different programs to see how things work has only helped me, and to be with Coach Warren, who's had a ton of success here, you know, just got her 250th win, only the fourth person ever in the MVC to do that. That's unbelievable. So, yeah, long-term, way down the road, right now in this stage, I'd like to be a head coach. Gary, you know, if that time ever happens, if not, you know, I'll enjoy anything I have. Right, I could be assistant here forever. I really could. It's a great spot, a great position. Long term down the road, I'd like to be a head coach. You know, we'll see one day at a time, right? We'll see one year at a time. But down the road, it'd be fun to do and see if that happens.
Well, it's fun to watch Coach Warren and Coach Nelson and you, how you run practices, how you coach the team. I mean, it's a great staff, and I can see how a guy could stay a long time, but you want to have some long range goals too. And man, having your own program someday, I that probably would be a real awesome thing to accomplish, wouldn't it?
It would. I mean, it kind of gives me chills even thinking about it. You know, just, and again, I had to. First-hand experience with my dad watching his program, and you kind of put your own, you know, twist on it, so to speak. But it's a lot of work, though. It is. So, and again, I have a lot of work to do, a lot to learn. But I'm excited about that. The thought of that, right, Gary? I'm excited about the thought of thinking about that. But it'd be fun. It'd be fun. But right now, I'm enjoying obviously being here and finishing off the year the right way, and we'll just go from there. But UNI is a great place, and I'm happy to be part of this program.
Well, it's been fun following you there, and just best of luck the rest of this season. You guys got a lot to play for. You can still accomplish a lot of big goals before you have to hang up the uniforms for the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the fact that, you know, you're still playing for something this late in the year, that's all you ask for, right, Garrett? I mean, that's what you want. I mean, that's what's exciting, that all these games into March mean something. You know, we're still playing for seeding for the conference tournament. You know, we still can finish top half, which, gosh, I think Coach – I wish I knew. Coach Warren has done, I think, 10, 11 years in a row, which is an amazing stat in itself. So, and there's still a lot to play for. Still want to play for postseason play. And the fact that we're, you know, end of February, early March, and we're still – competing for something, you know, that's why you play, right? That's why you put on the jersey. That's why you watch film every day, go to practice. So we're excited, Gary, and hopefully we'll have a great finish.
Well, I really appreciate you giving all this time today to learn more about you and hear about getting down to the end of the regular season with UNI women's basketball. We'll be following you. Best of luck. And again, appreciate your time today, Coach Fennelly.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate your time and all you do for UNI Athletics. You take care. Go Cardinals.
There you go. Hey, don't forget to download and subscribe to the Panther Point of View podcast from wherever you download your podcast, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or at UNIPanthers.com. Want to thank UNI Panther Women's Assistant Basketball Coach Stephen Fennelly being our special guest today on the Panther Point of View podcast. Until next time, the voice of the Panthers, Gary Rima, saying so long for now and go Panthers.